Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The universe, at its center, is being administered by God, and God's desire in this universe is to be expressed. These two items, His administration and His expression, are not only important to Him now, but they will remain together for eternity. Joining us today for our final program on the New Jerusalem and near the very end of this life study of Revelation is Ed Marks. Ed, it's good to have you back.
Well, it's good to be here, Chris, and I think our listeners will be really enlightened to see how God's administration and His expression are intrinsically related, and we will also get some practical fellowship to help us in our Christian experience in our daily life.
Ed, we want to look at a couple of very significant verses at the end of Revelation that will be our focus today. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 says, "And I saw no temple in it," and this is speaking of the New Jerusalem, "and I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple." And then in the next chapter, chapter 22, verse 1, "And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street." Ed, these verses describing the New Jerusalem mention God's throne and the temple. In the past, we saw that the first section of Revelation stressed God's throne very much for His administration, and the second section shows us the temple for His expression. Today, we want to look at how these two are connected. Ed, there's even a verse in chapter 16 that puts these two things together, isn't there?
Yes, Chris. Actually, it's Revelation 16:17. This verse speaks about the seventh angel pouring out his bowl upon the air, and this is at the end of God's judgment on this universe, you know, at the end of this age. And it says, "A loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" So this verse puts the temple together with the throne. It's got this phrase, "out of the temple, from the throne." And we'll see how these two items are related with Brother Lee's fellowship to come.
Let's join his speaking right now. Here's Witness Lee.
Well, this is the last message on the New Jerusalem. We come to its center. Anything that is crucial always has a center. You look at a country, a nation, it has its capital, its central government as its center. Now, in this last vision of the New Jerusalem, we do have a strong center here. What is the center? It is clearly mentioned that the center is the very throne of our redeeming God. The wall, the gate, the street, all lead eventually to the throne. He's coming off his throne and he's coming down to this earth is just to bring God into man. Christ coming in the flesh is the coming of the triune God out of himself to reach the humankind, to touch the human beings.
Well, Ed, we see these two things very definitely connected here, the throne for God's administration and the temple for his expression. How is the throne as the center of God's administration in the New Jerusalem related to the temple, which is for his expression?
Well, Chris, we read that verse, Revelation 16:17, which shows clearly that the throne is in the temple. This shows clearly that God's administration, signified by the throne, is for his expression seen in the temple. Eventually, the New Jerusalem, again, I'd like to emphasize, Chris, that the New Jerusalem is the mutual abode of God and man. You read the verse from Revelation 21 and 22, which shows that actually the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. On the one hand, they're the temple for us to dwell in. We dwell in God. We're the tabernacle for God to dwell in. God dwells in us. There's a mutual abode here. Actually, also, if you look in the New Testament, we are God's temple, according to 1 Corinthians 3 and Ephesians 2. The throne being in the temple, which is the body of Christ consummating in the New Jerusalem, shows that God's administration is for his expression. Now, Chris, it's very interesting that if you look at Revelation 4:3, the one sitting on the throne has the appearance of jasper, which is a dark green stone signifying the God of glory in his rich life, life in all its richness. Then Revelation 21:11 tells us that the entire city has the appearance of a jasper stone. The one sitting on the throne has the appearance of jasper, and the entire city has the appearance of jasper. This shows that when we come under God's throne, when we come under his ruling, he is the jasper God. Eventually, what happens, according to Revelation 22:1, out from the throne comes the river of water of life. And we enjoy him dispensing himself into us, filling us with himself as life, until we get transformed to also have the appearance of jasper, the very God on the throne. So as the New Jerusalem, we express the God of jasper on the throne by coming under his throne, enjoying his divine dispensing as the river of water of life. And then we, all of God's chosen and redeemed people, get transformed and glorified to have his expression, which is the appearance of the jasper God. This is quite wonderful, Chris, and I think we'll have some more practical fellowship on this to come.
Ed, I would like to go back and reread chapter 22, verse 1. This coming section touches very specifically what you just mentioned here. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. Ed, this river flows out of this throne. There's a real connection. Let's join Witness Lee.
How could we know that this redeeming God sitting on the throne is to dispense himself into all his redeemed by a river proceeds out of the throne? And this river is the river of the water of life. Oh, through all the years, I surely can tell you, I do understand what does it mean that a river of water of life proceeds out of the throne of God and the redeeming God. I surely understand this because through my experience, whenever I submit myself to my Redeemer, whenever I submit myself to my redeeming God, whenever I would be willing to take him as my head, right away, out of this very head, this very redeeming God, something living, flowing within me. It is not just a teaching. It is not just an interpretation. It is altogether an experience. So, one day by reading this, now I understand this river of the water of life flowing out of the throne of the redeeming God just tells us how we have to take our redeeming God as our authority. How we have to submit ourselves under his headship. Right away, the throne is established in our spirit. And out of this established throne, the life-giving spirit is flowing. This is the center. And this center is the administration with God's headship. For what? For the dispensing of himself into all his redeemed, that all of them may be saturated and permeated with himself to be his very expression. Now you can see, here is the throne, waiting for you to submit yourself to the authority of our redeeming God. Once you submit yourself to this headship, right away, the life-giving spirit flows within you.
Amen.
This is not a kind of teaching. No one can teach the book of Revelation. It needs what? It needs the experience for you to understand it. Now, it's so good. What's so good? I tell you. This water is free.
Well, Ed, this somewhat marvelously answers the question that we began with a moment ago. And that is, what does this throne of God's administration have to do with him gaining an expression? I like this closing word here, Ed. The water of life is free, provided we stay under the ruling from the throne.
Yes, Chris, this was a marvelous word. And Chris, I would just like to emphasize again, practically in our Christian life, we should always have a prayer. Even when we begin the day in the morning, we should say, Lord, I like to bring my whole inner being, my whole life, my daily life, my family life to you. I want to be fully under your headship. I like to submit to you in everything. As soon as we pray that prayer, Chris, something marvelous happens. This is depicted in Revelation 22:1, where it shows that a river of water of life is proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This shows us that when we bring ourselves under God's headship, when we bring ourselves under his lordship and under his authority, immediately the river of water of life begins to flow in our being in a free way, and we get saturated, soaked, and permeated with the triune God as the river of water of life. This is according to our experience, Chris. We should have a practice of consulting with him and conferring with him in everything. In every decision we make, we need to check with the Lord. He's the Lord. Practically, we need to make him our Lord by checking with him, by consulting with him in all the decisions we make and in everything we do in our daily life. It's by checking with him, consulting with him, conferring with him that we give him the preeminence practically in all the affairs of our daily life. Perhaps even right now, you know, there are some of our listeners out there and they're confronting some situation. And many times we confront situations, but we don't consult the Lord. We're just kind of on automatic pilot going through our daily life. Well, if you're in a particular situation right now, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, talk to the Lord about it. This will bring your entire situation and your entire being under his lordship and headship, and the river of water of life will begin to flow in you. I can never forget in the book of Joshua, this is in chapter 9, verse 14 particularly, when Joshua and the children of Israel, when they were conquering the good land, there was this tribe of people who God wanted them to destroy, actually, so that they could possess the good land in an unmixed way. But this tribe of people tricked them. And Joshua 9:14, the reason why they got tricked, it says, because they did not seek the counsel of Jehovah. So in everything, when we seek his counsel, this brings us under his lordship, under his headship, and the water of life flows in us to saturate our being with all his riches.
Ed, to go back to the point you made a moment ago, the appearance of this city becomes jasper, the same as the appearance of the one that's on the throne. And as the constituents of this city, that means we have to take on this jasper appearance as well. It's really the flowing of this living water that imparts or dispenses that very substance, that image of God himself into us, isn't it?
Exactly. It's as we come under his headship, when we're talking with him, when we're consulting with him, when we're conferring with him. This is just another way to describe what real prayer is. We come under his headship, and then he saturates us with the riches of his life until we express him. That expression is the very glory of God. And then, like we pointed out, the whole city has the appearance of jasper. The one on the throne has the appearance of jasper. This shows us that God's administration, you know, the one on the throne, is for his expression. We express him as the jasper God by being saturated with himself as the river of water of life through our conferring with him in everything.
Well, Ed, in this final section, we want to detour slightly. Actually, it's related, but as he was giving this message in 1976 or early 1977, he had an aside where he pointed out something regarding the triune God that was visible to him in these verses. And this is a marvelous window into how Witness Lee approached the Bible and how he understood the Bible, and really his efforts and labor to bring us into such a view. This is a very helpful section, and I just want to set that up as a preface because it may seem off point, but really this is worthwhile. We'll bring this to our listeners now.
Now, we must see this, and this term is God and the Lamb. I have to point out, you don't have two thrones. You don't have one throne for God, another throne for the Lamb. According to the tradition teaching concerning the Trinity, here you have two persons. God, the Lamb, two persons. But one throne. Would you think about how could these two persons take one throne? Do the two sit on the throne side by side? You have a hint for you to understand this. This very God is likened as the light. And this very Lamb, L-A-M-B, is likened as the lamp. We all know the light and the lamp, these two things can never be separated.
Amen.
You cannot put these two things side by side. If you put the light beside the lamp, darkness comes. The light has to be in the lamp. Now, by this hint, you can see surely the light, who is God, or surely God, who is the light, is in the lamp, who is the lamp. God and the lamp, they too don't sit on one throne side by side, but the very God sits on the throne within the lamp. It is just like the light shines not beside the lamp, but within the lamp. These two things are just one entity. The light in the lamp, one entity with two things. It's hard for us to get the human language. You see, in our human language, we don't have this vocabulary to express the Trinity, but I just don't have the word yet. I can see the picture here.
Amen.
So here you have a God who is not only the God that created, but the God who has redeemed. He is the redeeming God on the throne for what? For his administration, to dispense himself into all his redeemed by this way, by a river proceeds out of the throne. And this river is the river of the water of life.
Well, as was his way, he took us down a country road, but he surely got us to the destination, didn't he, Ed? This was tremendous. We got a clear picture of the triune God for the purpose of his dispensing to bring all his redeemed into his expression, and all without getting entangled, as he put it, with the traditional language of separate persons in the Trinity. What a wonderful conclusion, Ed.
Yes, Chris, I think this is a marvelous way to end this life study, because what we're addressing here is God's very heart's desire and how he gains his heart's desire. And what we see here is that God is triune for dispensing himself into his chosen and redeemed people, saturating them with all of his riches so that they can become his glorious expression as the New Jerusalem. Now, Chris, what's wonderful here about Brother Lee, the way he opened up this word, is that in Revelation 22:1, you have the throne of God and of the Lamb. Well, the throne is not a love seat. That means there's not two on the throne, because Revelation 4:3 tells us very directly, upon the throne there was one sitting. Yet it says the throne of God and of the Lamb. Well, if you go to Revelation 21:23, you see that the Lamb is the lamp. What this shows us is that the one sitting on the throne is the Lamb, who is the lamp, and God is within this Lamb lamp as the light. So God is in Christ as the Lamb who is in the lamp. And then out from this one who is on the throne flows the river of water of life. So what you see is God the Father in Christ the Son flowing out as God the Spirit to reach and dispense himself into all his chosen and redeemed people so that they can enjoy him, be filled with him, be soaked with him, be saturated with him, and be permeated with him to express him in his glory forever and ever. And Chris, just on a practical note, you know, God is the light within the Lamb as the lamp. This shows that we need to walk in God the Father as the light of life every day. And then we've got the river of water of life. When we come under the throne, like we said, we come under God's headship. We talk to him. We confer with him in everything. We give him the preeminence in our daily life. Then there is a flow in our being to saturate us with all his riches. Then also along the banks of this river is the tree of life, God the Son as the tree of life. So we have God the Father as the light of life, God the Son as the tree of life, and God the Spirit as the river of life for us to enjoy. We need to enjoy him, experience him. Again, I want to emphasize this one thing, by conferring with him and consulting with him in everything, talking to him, then he saturates us with all that he is, and we express him as the God of glory to the whole universe. This is God's economy, which is his eternal plan to dispense himself into man so that man can become his expression.
This is really why God is triune in the accomplishment of his purpose.
Exactly, Chris. And when we look at this picture in Revelation 22:1, we can see that God is triune to dispense himself into us for our enjoyment so that we can become his expression.
Ed, these messages, particularly at the end of this life study on the New Jerusalem, are just indescribable in what they have brought to us, a view that is probably new to nearly all of our listeners. There's a lot of material at Living Stream Ministry related to this topic of the New Jerusalem.
Chris, I would like to say this to our listeners. Oh, I would just encourage you to write in and get the life studies of the book of Revelation. There is no exposition, I would just like to say personally, I feel, in this world that opens up the book of Revelation like the life study of Revelation does. My mother recently, she was staying with us, and she had never read this life study, and she read it. She was just amazed and enthralled at the revelation there and richly supplied. My mother's 81 now, and she really enjoyed these life studies. Anyway, I would encourage you to write in and get the life study. It goes into a lot more detail than what we can do on the broadcast.
And Ed, we'll have 3 days to conclude this life study of Revelation. Thank you for being here, Ed.
Yes, thank you, Chris.
And we would like to thank you for listening today. For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Please join us again as we continue on and finish this life study of Revelation.